If we're doing the one on heaven, then I got to make sure all the blinds are open, right? Okay, good. Making sure I read my rules correctly. Excellent. Let's begin and go to God in prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We thank the Almighty God for the blessings you give us. You're here. You're here. And we're here. Let us be caught up in your gaze in this moment. Reveal to us those things which we need to hear in the depths of our souls. That which you've begun in us, it may be carried forth to the fullness of its completion. In the day of Christ Jesus. We ask this through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. General wellness check. Making sure you're drinking water. Sure. Drink water. Drink water. It is incredibly important to drink water. Drink water. There. Yeah. Okay. Okay, there we go. Almost got it. Si se puede. You can do it. Almost. I know sometimes it tickles the beard. The mustache right there. It tickles the mustache right there. Okay, there we go. Okay, good. It's good to have a little bit of laughter in these moments here as we're entering into the serious work that is prayer. Well, prayer is incredibly serious work, isn't it? It engages the entirety of our being, and sometimes it can be so heavy when we're entering into it, and we ourselves become heavy if we don't realize the lightness with which the Lord takes us. We take our prayer often so heavy, don't we? Say, I got to get it done. I've got all these prayer periods, right? I got to make sure I knock them all out because this is what Father is expecting of me, right? Father has given me these things. God has brought me on this retreat. I don't get to go on retreat every single day of my life, right? I only get this time. 5 days in silence. Some pretty amazing people that I don't get to see every day. I got to do it right. And so I got to give everything into it. And so I got to make sure that I hit every single point on there and rock them out. Because if I don't, what happens? I fall behind. And so then I got to catch back up right there. And then I got to exhaust myself in some sort of way. Note for the future. Note for the future. If there ever comes a moment where you get behind in your prayer, like just for some reason, you're so exhausted. I mean, life is exhausting. Prayer is exhausting. And you just can't complete all the exercises that are laid before. There's a meditation you just can't get. You're feeling so bad. Or maybe you get a little bit sick during retreat. Like right there, and you just need to take a rest. What do you do? What do you do in those moments? When there's that, then what you have to do is you got to set your alarm for some midnight hour. It has to be an ungodly hour, though. And you got to wake up at that time, and you have to do the next hour of prayer to make sure you don't fall asleep kneeling on a broomstick. No, you don't do that. You don't do that. What do you do? What did we learn this morning at Mass? Huh? What did we learn this morning at Mass? The first lesson before we actually went into the homily, we talked about what? We talked about John the Baptist, right? John the Baptist is there. He's dealing with the darkness that he's in that I'm not going to go into because I don't want any of you to go right there, okay? Because that's not where we're at right now. Okay, we're not in that darkness. So he's in that darkness, and he needs to be liberated from that darkness, and he's only got one asset, and it's not in him. What's the one asset that he has? You remember? Anybody remember? You remember what the one asset, the one thing that he has that can help? What is that? Friends. Friends. He has others who are there. Who's his best friend? Okay. Who's your best friend? First and foremost, it's who? On this retreat. Who is it?
Jesus.
It is Jesus, that's right. The lover of your soul. Okay, here's another freebie right here. This is for Foul Pal. Okay. Jesus, he's the lover of my soul. Jesus, he will never let me go. He's taken me from the miry clay. Set my feet up on a rock. Now I know. I forget the next part. Yeah, yeah. Though the world may change, he'll never let me go. My Savior, my only friend. And he'll do something until the very end. Yeah, okay. So there we go. A friend. Got a friend in Jesus. We're not going to sing that song, though. A friend in Jesus right there. That's number one. He's the director par excellence, the best, the greatest right there. He's the one who's directing our souls, even through the missteps and the failings and the weaknesses of our own who? Our own individual director. So what should we do when we're in those moments and we don't think we can make the next hour, we're sick, or we've failed to make an hour? What do we do? Go to your friend. Go to your director. Okay, just go to your director. Let him know what's going on, and then he'll be able to prescribe what's going on in your life. He'll be able to know what the next thing is. Whether it's, hey, yeah, okay, you know what, I really need you to make that one. That's an important one. Or, hey, Nah, you know what, that one right there, actually, you've already got the grace of that hour. You've already nailed it. Or, I know where we're going, and that grace is going to be right over here in the next one, or the one that's after that, so go ahead and skip that one. Or, here, no, these ones are important, so I need you to do that one. Go ahead and make that one up tomorrow morning. You'll be on a slightly different schedule, but this one isn't as important to you, so we're going to strip that one out. Director will know. Trust your director. Trust your director. Trust your director in that. He's got the care of your soul in that moment. He'll let you know exactly what the next movement is. Good. Now, I'm assuming, but you know what happens when you make an assumption. Okay, we won't go into that. When you make that assumption, something doesn't always go right. And so I was assuming that everybody had a third meditation. Is that true? Everybody had a third. Everybody has presently. They know what they're supposed to do with that third meditation that was not given here within the packet that we have. Everybody's got that? Particularly, I'm thinking of those who are not being directed on site. Okay, everybody's got that. Excellent. Good. So we're all on that same page. Sorry if I didn't make that as clear as I would have liked it to. Okay, so we're all on the same page. We're moving in these directions. Now, we have an interesting thing to accomplish here in this evening moment. I'm wearing warm clothes. I'm still trying to warm up from being outside so long. So it takes me a little bit. God didn't give me a sufficient amount of fluff at present to fight off the colds. So I gotta add to it with these things. Knows what it's about. Okay. Just so you know, Fallon, I pointed at Luke. Excellent. So we're all together in this. So for this moment, we got to get ready for tomorrow, right? So we got to make sure that tonight we're ready for tomorrow, because tomorrow hits and we're done. So what is tomorrow going to look like? Tomorrow, our schedule, because of the limited amount of day we have, we all have to be gone by 5 o'clock. Okay? So because of that, and because of the limited moments of that, I'm not going to expect you to somehow keep the retreat as we're keeping it. While you're on the plane, while you're landing, while you're picking up your baggage, while your wife is there squeezing you, or husband, or whatever else is going on, or those who are greeting you at the airport, and while your kids start pulling at your beard, or whatever it is that's going on. We can't expect that. So we're shortening the retreat, shortening the meditations to make them three. To make them three periods of prayer, whereby we'll be able to accomplish everything that's necessary in the exercises, even though we would like to do more. We'd like to have the full four, even throw in a fifth one, to be able to do so. So here are the three exercises. Nicely, the three exercises, we actually have them. Meaning you have them. So I don't have to give you what those exercises are quite so much. So what are they? The exercises are first, so make sure I'm not skipping something. First, they are the way of the cross. Okay, so I mean, it's a weird thing to do, start right out the gate early in the morning. But guess what? Jesus had to do it too. Okay. So he didn't start his way of the cross like at noon, when he had already done his calisthenics and had his lunch and, you know, spent time with the boys. He hit it real bright and real early, meaning actually the night before, right? He didn't get any rest from then. He couldn't sleep at all unless he was just passed out when he was in chains. Okay. And a good thing to do if we had more time would be we would all sit together for one prayer period. That would be an additional prayer period where we just watch the Passion of Christ together. So we did on my 30-day retreat. We all sat there and wept together like little babies, watching the Passion of the Christ. And we would do that too, but we don't have time for that. So given that we aren't able to do that, we'll start with the Way of the Cross, third week. You've got that in there. It's in your packet toward the end. The next prayer period is on the resurrection. Now, they've already provided one for us, and I like it. So why don't we use it? Why don't we use it there? I mean, there's a ton of things you could do. And if you really feel moved to want a different one than that, be happy to provide that. That's totally on you. Like, there are tons of resurrection experiences that are there. And we could go over any of them, and all of them are helpful. I like this one because it's the first one. And it's not in Scripture, which is also why I like it. Because it's actually what happened. But you better believe it, that Mary wouldn't have let this be written down in Scripture. She would have charged St. Luke, I told you about it, but if you write that thing in there, it's back of my hand, buddy. Don't you do it. Okay, that's intimacy. That's me and my son time. I told you it. Don't you dare put that in. So what we have here is the appearance to Mary, his mother. So that's what happened. The first appearance was to his mother. Okay, and you know exactly why right there. It's obvious in here through all the things in there. I don't think that there's anything that needs to be explained in that. But I want you to go over it sometime before you go to bed tonight. Just a glance over it. If there's anything, I can cover that in the morning conference that we're going to do. Okay, I can cover that again. All you have to do is say, Father, sorry. Let's go for it. And I don't mind doing it, but let's go over it. The one thing to note there that I really like is, like, who do you think he would appear to? When you enter into your house after you've been away for a while, what do you get in trouble for? It's not if you don't say hi to Dad. Who is it? It's if you don't give your mom a kiss, right? If you don't give mom a kiss, then you're in trouble. Okay? Same thing for Christ. Same thing for Christ as an observer of the fourth commandment. Same thing. Okay? So he goes first to his mama, and then he goes elsewhere. Okay? First place. Pretty cool thing. I love that part about it. The final meditation then that we'll do is a really consoling one, which is actually on the back page of that. No, back page of something. There we go. Back page of this one right here. So right here it says contemplation to attain the love of God. Okay, so this is the grace. This is the grace right here. Okay. So this one right here, as you can see, it's much smaller print than all the other ones because there are a lot of stuff there. A lot of stuff that that we need to work on. And it has that beautiful prayer in the first point. So it's got all those preludes that we do ahead of it. But in the first point, we get that beautiful prayer of, what is it called? The Sushipe? Is that what it is? The Sushipe of Saint Ignatius right there. Which, by the way, I probably should have mentioned this before. I at one point did try to find it in my phone, but I couldn't find it. It wasn't as a prayer that I just have on my phone. And somebody just couldn't find where it was located. But I wanted to give it to you. But it's, take, O Lord, and receive all my liberty, all my memory, all my understanding, and my entire will, all that I have and possess. Thou hast given all to me. To thee, O Lord, I return it. I give it back. All is thine. Dispose of it wholly according to thy will. Give me thy love and thy grace, for this is sufficient to me. Okay, that's it. That's the stuff. That's the stuff of the exercises. That's the stuff of prayer. That's the stuff of abandonment. That's the thing that we're moving toward. That's union with God, which is what prayer is directed to. All prayer is directed toward union with God, of the coming together of what do we pray, I should say it this way, because I don't want if my confirmation students hear this, they'll ding me for this. What is the second greatest prayer? What is the second greatest prayer? Of all the prayers that exist, of all the prayers that have ever been prayed in the entire universe of prayers, of all the communications that have ever been communicated with God, what is the second greatest of all communications? So, just so you know, I'm not talking about something from Princess Bride. Oh, of the seven greatest kisses there have ever been since time began. Da, 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 da. This was the most pure, the most true, the most loving, the most passionate. It's from the Princess Bride. Okay, so what is the second greatest prayer? You're looking at me blank.
What's the first?
Great question. Tell me what the first is, and then I'll tell you.
The Mass.
There we go, the Mass. Oh, Lordy, Lordy. Thank you. Somebody finally got it. Yes, I knew there was genius here. The Mass is the greatest. What is the second greatest? Super points for that, by the way. You get 5 Burnaby bucks. They're worth nothing and irredeemable. There we go. Wow, number 2. I can't believe it. Can't believe it. We got number 1 and number 2, and you've not even been taught by me ever. You are so great. You are so great. You are so great. Yes. So why is the second greatest the second greatest? Why is the Our Father the second greatest of all prayers?
Jesus said it.
There we go. Because Jesus said, when you want to pray. Okay, so the story. I like to tell stories. Stories are good. Stories are good. So the reality of it is that in the scriptures, what do we find? In the scriptures, we find this. We find, hey, the disciples are kind of joshing around the apostolic band. He's meaning the kind of apostolic or discipleshipic, whatever you want to talk about it. The disciples of Jesus are all getting together and rubbing elbows, and they rub up against these other disciples over there at John the Baptist. They're rubbing over there, and what happens when a group of men get together, right? It's getting earthly. What do men do? Men do
sweat.
Men sweat, okay. men talk bad about each other, and men josh with each other. Men compete. And what men try to do when they compete is they try to one-up one another, right? Oh, you did this? Well, I did that. Well, you did that? Well, I did this. And we get more and more extreme. We talk real, real big. Half the stuff we say never happens. Okay, right there. We're just raising the level on everything right there and trying to make it bigger and bigger. And all of a sudden, in the midst of this one-upsmanship that they're trying to do one to another, Jesus' disciples versus John the Baptist's disciples, as they're trying to see who are the better disciples, who are the most rigorous, who are the ones who are really getting it right there, all of a sudden says, hey, well, guess what? John the Baptist, he taught us how to pray, and this is how we pray. Bam. What about you guys? What do you got? What's your prayer life like? What is your Jesus do about telling me to pray? What do I do? I go, hey, John. Thomas goes up to you, John, what do you say? Why don't you tell us how to pray? It's got to be better than that. John says, I don't know. Peter, you're the one who's always opening your mouth. What do you say to you? He's talking to you sometimes. I don't know. He didn't tell me how to pray. I got no response. Man. Yeah, you didn't teach us how to pray? You guys are disciples and you teach you how to pray? What have you been doing this whole time? We fast. We all sorts of hardcore stuff, just like John. We eat locusts and honey, just like him. We dress shoddy. Oh, you guys are weak sauce. Oh, these guys are a joke. And they go their way. Man, it's John the Baptist's disciples best of them that day. And they're stewing back around the campfire, back around there. They're stewing and they're saying, man, we just got our stuff handed to us. Man, what's going on? This is real. This is getting like Jesus as human, right? Right? Jesus humanity right there. And then what happens in that discussion? They're saying, so they come up to the Lord. The Lord finally comes down from his prayer. Oh, Jesus does. He always just goes up and leaves and prays and comes back, right? Lord, John the Baptist taught his disciples how to pray. Why don't you teach us how to pray? It's not saying we just got it handed to us back there because we don't know how to pray. Obviously, we're not doing stuff that we're supposed to be doing. And they're totally kicking our backsides here. Like, you're better than them. We saw it. You read your baptism. He said you're greater. Like, so that means we're better. So how come they're doing more than us? Come on, give me something. Like, I will fight for you. I will cut them. Okay. Right? And so what Jesus says, he says, oh, okay. Nah, guys, he just can't handle it. So he goes off, right? Leaves him back there. That's not what our Lord does. He didn't just walk away and say, it's too much for you. I was scraping the bottom of the barrel when I picked you guys up. Let's be honest. Because this show is about me. Is that what he said? No. He didn't say that, right? He didn't say that. He said this. He said, okay, when you pray, I want you to spitball with these words that I'm going to give you right here, right? You say that? No. When he said, when you pray, I'm going to throw out some concepts up here on the board, and you guys just sort of see which one moves your heart, and you go with that one, you go with that word, when it strikes you right here. You say that? No. He says, here, I'm going to give you the pattern. Here are categories of prayer that you can do. There's this, there's that, there's seven different points right here. You're going to lay it out right there so that you can formulate your own freestyle. Okay? Did he say that? He didn't say that. He did not say that, right? He didn't say that at all. He said, when you pray, do what? Say these words. Say these words. Don't say other things. Just say this. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Vastakosi, as they say. Stop there. That's what our Lord said. That's what our Lord said. Say these words. Think how that must have felt for the apostolic band, right? Here they are. They just got bested by John the Baptist, who's doing all sorts of crazy stuff. And Jesus says, okay, when you pray, they're ready for it. They say, okay, I'm ready. I got my psyllus right over here. I'm ready to tighten that thing over here. I've got my little whip right here. I'm going to go all to town on this. And next time we meet up with those disciples over there, I'm going to show them the scars right here. I'm going to look like Elijah the prophet. And Jesus says, when you pray, just say these things. Simple, simple. They're looking for something manly and bodily and exterior. And he says, these sentiments are the essence of prayer. Recognize that God is your Father with that prayer. When you pray that prayer, you're going to say, not what I think is important, but Lord, what you think is important. And your way be done. Just like the angels in heaven obey your every inkling, shoot off to do the thing which you sent them out to accomplish. Let everybody here do the exact same thing. Somebody wounds me and somebody acts like they're better than me, let me give it to them. Instead of trying to compete and to show that I'm better and getting my way back on them, like I was just about to do. Okay, right? And in the end, what? Oh, I forgot that one. Feed us. Feed us with the thing that I need today. Not worrying about tomorrow. Because tomorrow will take care of itself, just like he taught them on the Sermon on the Mount, right? Just like he had already spoken to them in that moment. Feeding back on all those teachings that he's already given them, and then, in the end, I still need to be delivered from evil, from the evil one, from his power. So I can stand the test. Fight the battle for me, God. Some pretty awesome stuff. So that's an explanation of it. That's the second greatest prayer right there. You're saying, God's will be done. God's thing be accomplished. Right there. That's what the sushi paid prayer says. Why is that the second greatest prayer? Why is it the second greatest? Here's the reason why. So my confirmation students have to spit back to me. Okay. So it's the second greatest prayer, Father, because Jesus gave you the words to say. So you're not going to say better words than Jesus. You're not going to come up with a better prayer than the God-man, who is in total, always union with the Father and the Spirit himself. Yeah. Not going to come up with a better one. Impossibile. Okay? Now, why is the Mass greater? Yeah, you with me, Luke? Yeah, you feeling it. Why is the Mass greater? You're just bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. You're just all attention. No answer.
Not just his words.
Huh? It's not just words. What is it?
Like his offering to the Father.
Ah, so close. So close. So close. Yeah. Got to get it from St. John Vianney right here. It's actually on my priest card. It's actually on my priest card, the back of my priest card. That's what I do. I hand him my cheat sheet. I just slip on my rookie card as a priest. That's it. I think you might want to look at that. That might have the answer. I slip it to him. St. John Vianney says that all the works, all the good works of the whole world, if they were to be put together, all the good works, if the whole world, if they were put together, would not equal the value of the holy sacrifice of the Mass. Por qué? Why? He says, because they are the work of men. Pero, but, the Mass is the work of God. All the other good works. You can take all the works of the Blessed Virgin Mary herself. Amazing was her works. Take all of those, plus any other good work that there is, but it doesn't really matter. It's the Blessed Virgin Mary, so it doesn't matter. She is the best anyway. So you take all of those that have ever existed or will ever exist. You put them all together. They won't equal one single holy sacrifice of the Mass, which is why we began this retreat saying, hey, don't pray for anybody in this retreat. Basta. No more. No more intercession for anybody. Just put it on the altar right there at the beginning of this retreat and done. Don't worry about it. One sacrifice of the Mass. Greater than all other prayers you could ever offer intercession. Just one time. And then we're going to get all five. Good stuff. So, because they're the work, the Mass is the work of God. God does it. The priest just happens to be there as the instrument. He's just the tool that God uses. But God does the Mass. That's why. Okay, and so the sushipe prayer right here that we're going to pray right there is the essence of union. Is the essence of union with God. Essence of union with God. That we have right there in everything. To commend everything it is that we have over to God, to let him possess it all, recognizing that he has dominion over everything, and I'm just going to give it back to him, because if I keep it for myself, I'm going to misuse it anyway. I don't know when to use it. I don't really know how to use it. I might end up using that three-pronged or four-pronged instrument that we use at table over there. I might use it like Ariel used it from the Little Mermaid, that dingle hopper to twist the hair. That's not what it's for, though, right? And that's like me trying to use my liberty, my memory, my understanding, my entire will. It's like me trying to use those things for myself. I don't know what they're for. I'm just like somebody who found in the bottom of the sea, like that little crustacean over there, Sebastian. I pulled that thing up for Ariel and say, hey, look what I found in my collection of things from the world above. Look at this. Oh, what's it for? Says the seagull guy. Oh, that's to draw your hair. That's a dingle hopper. Oh yeah, he doesn't know. He doesn't know. Nobody knows. When we give them over to God in that way, then they can actually be used properly. God knows what to do better with your liberty, better with your memory, better with your understanding, your entire will, whatever it is that you have, because God gave it to you in the first place. When you return it back to him, he will be able to dispose it all according to his will. The only thing that is necessary for your life, for my life, is what? God's own love. God's own love. That's it. Give me your love and give me your grace. Meaning give me your spirit and give me your power to accomplish. Power to be transformed within my own self. Give me that, because that is sufficient for me. That's it. Okay. That's what we're really moving toward in this. And so this is kind of like a bridge that hopefully you've been praying that prayer the whole time. If not, now you can start. And you can start. It's a good prayer to pray. It's on that last page right there. Sit with that prayer. Make it as something that you can do either at the beginning of your introduction into prayer, as a prelude entering into it. You can also use it as a part of your colloquy in there. Part of your colloquy up there. It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful way to enter into these prayers. Okay, excellent. So, what have we done? We've accomplished tomorrow what our meditations are talked a little bit about whatever it is that we just talked about. That was good. The sushi bait prayer is really what we were going for, but we hit a lot on that route. Let's close in prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. God, you're such a God of surprises. We thank you for all the things that you've continued to reveal to us, movements of this particular retreat, and you know, it's wild to think that you knew where this was going, like from the foundation of the world, that you planned this all, and willed it, and willed us, continue to will us. Thank you for getting us caught up in the mystery of your divine love, of recognizing that you could even call us to be your beloved sons and your beloved daughters, sons in the sons, daughters in the son. And how even when we don't get that message after how many times we've been exposed to it and exposed others to it, and yet you still beckon us further and deeper into that one most necessary knowledge, which is of your love and of your grace, and that suffices for all. Help us to surrender the time that we have to you. That you're not done with us. To hold on strong to the end of this retreat. That whatever it is that you have may be accomplished within us. Through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.